Welcome to the Heart of Christ Church. You guys haven't seen me for a long time. I'll try not to mess up too much, okay? Yeah, because I'm just a man. But the Holy Spirit, I pray this. I can't preach Holy Spirit, but you can. So let's give Him the glory. And we get back to the title. Where there is a will, I wasn't sure if you guys were going to pick up on that. Where there is a will, there is a way. You don't kind of hear that too much anymore. You know, I'm kind of dating myself. I'm only 66, right? That's still young yet, right? It doesn't feel young, but I think Methuselah was like 900 years. Yeah? I wonder how I'll look in 900 years. With the power of the Holy Spirit, I should look pretty good. You know, we pray, "Thy will be done," every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. I want you to think about it. "Thy will be done," we say that each time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Do we really understand its meaning? Jesus gave us that prayer, didn't He? So when we pray it, when we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," do we understand that? Do you comprehend that statement, that prayer? "Thy will be done." Now, I got a question for you. I want to call on some of you for an answer, all right? Do you or have you ever thought about what is God's will for your life? Have you ever thought about that? I can remember when I first got saved way back in my teens. And I thought about that. What is God's will for my life? And then being a teenager, I went on to doing other stuff and then didn't think about it. But have you ever thought about what is God's will for your life? You know, God has a will. He has a will. He willed this entire universe into existence. He spoke it, and it came into existence. And scientists are still trying to figure out how that happened. We know how it happened. God spoke it into existence. He has a will. But how does that will work out for us? God has given every human a free will. We are not, as the extreme atheists would have us believe, that we're just wet robots, just reacting to outside stimuli being conveyed to our brains through our senses. No, we all have a free will, and yet how does that work with a creator that has a will also? We have a free will to choose to love or hate God, to accept or reject Him. Love or hate cannot be observed under a microscope, but only in the choices people make in this world. I want you to think about that. You got a free will. And even as a Christian, you have a free will. You can show up here at the service if you want, right? Or you could stay home in your jammies and hot cocoa and your recliner with the TV on and watch Pastor Dubs on TV, right? Not too much work there, you know it. But you also have the free will to get yourself out of bed, get dressed, do your hair, comb your beard. For those of us that have a beard, put on some nice clothing, whatever. And come and join us here at the Heart of Christ Church. You have that will. God has given you choices. Lots of choices. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed. Sometimes I think I have too many choices. Oh my goodness, do I have to make a choice again? Yes, you have a free will. Jesus had a free will. The Son of God. Would you turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 6? Chapter 6, starting in the 38th verse. And this is Jesus' words. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. Extraordinary words. An extraordinary message from Jesus that his Father in heaven has a will. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus put aside his will to do the will of his Father who is in heaven. There seems to be a complicated interaction between God's will and our free will. How can we get a grasp on this for our daily lives? Isn't that interesting? God has a will. We have a free will. How do they intermingle? How does that work? Have you ever thought about that? How can you resist God's will? And yet, we can. We can. We can resist his will. I want you to think about it. How does those two fit together? And I thought about this and I wondered, okay, what kind of a vehicle can I convey to you as to how all these wills work? All right, how God's will, his sovereign will, his almighty will, allows us to have a will. So I thank the Holy Spirit because he gave me an idea. Now everybody here, I think, drives except for that young man right there. Aside of Bob. Everybody drives, right? Or, if you don't drive, you have ridden in a car. So you understand the concept of driving, right? Can I get a yes? There we go. I like interactive congregations. Okay? I like interactive. I've been in churches where it's called the Holy Roller Church, where these people get up, and they do some of the wonderful things. I mean, they really like to praise God. You're tired after one of those services because it's calisthenics, okay? But everybody understands the concept of driving, right? All right? Well, I found in the scriptures here four things that God wills for us and the world, really. There's four of them here. Okay, the first one is John. We're still in the book of John. Go back to the 6th chapter in the 40th verse. Or just go forward a little bit. Jesus is telling us what God's will is. In the 40th verse, you're right there. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. That's the first one. Now, in the concept of driving that we're looking at, that gets you on the road. All right? When you believe in Jesus Christ, it puts you on that road towards salvation, towards eternity. And once you're on the road, what happens when you're driving? You got to adhere to rules, right? There's rules. Of course, nowadays when I go driving, there's some instances where people disregard the rules. Have you ever had any people, you know, run a stop sign on you? They might be looking at their phone, were arguing with somebody in the car, but right past the stop sign, right through it. In order for everything to operate safely, there's got to be rules, right? You got to stop at the stop signs and look both ways. You got to stay in your lane. How about those lanes, those painted lines on the road? There's a double yellow line. That means you stay in your lane. You're not supposed to go over there. White line on the side, you're supposed to stay off the side of the road. You're supposed to stay between those two lines, right? Well, God gives us, in His wills, the rules. The second one, and we're going to look at this, I'm just going to read these off to get you an idea here, is 1 Peter, submit in doing right. The third one is in 1 Thessalonians, abstain from sexual sin. And the last one is 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in everything. I submit to you that those are sort of the road rules. Okay? As Christians, we're on that road, like I said, okay? And we're trying to follow the rules of the road, all right? Now, those who do not know Christ are not coming to salvation, they're off the road. What happens when you get off the road? Depending on where you're at, it's really rough road, rough terrain. I mean, you're getting banged up. And we'll look at the vehicle as your life, okay? You're in the brush and the briars. You're hitting rocks and boulders. What's happening to your car? Well, the paint's getting scratched. Yep. You get a log underneath the car somewhere, and depending on what kind of car you have, the briars and the brush are getting wrapped around the drive shaft that turns the rear wheels. That causes problems. Yeah. And then there's mud. Who's ever been stuck in the mud? Oh, man. And then there's all kinds of other obstacles. There could be trash out there. Sharp objects puncturing the tires. That makes a mess. Okay? What happens if you hit a rock and it knocks your brake line loose or breaks it? Now you're pumping on that pedal to stop. Ain't working. Now you're tight-knuckled on the steering wheel. Oh, man. What's going to happen now? The trees are going past, the brush. The branches are hitting the windshield. It's cracking the windshield. Oh, no, I can't see. I got no brakes. I can't see. What now? Holy mackerel, what did I get myself into? None of you have ever been in that situation where you drove off the road, right? Generally, you all stay on the road, right? As Christians, we need to stay on that road. It's imperative. The rest of the world, they're not even on the road. They're banging into stuff. They're boogering up the car. The paint's all scratched up. The window's cracked. The windshield's cracked. The air conditioning's not working. And eventually, depending on what part of the country you're in, if you're out in Colorado in the Rocky Mountains and you get off the road, there could be a cliff. All right? And the rest of the world that don't know Christ as their Savior, who aren't on the road, are eventually going to get to that cliff. And you figure the way some people operate in their lives, they're doing 72.3 miles an hour. And what happens? Over the cliff. Then what? Into a dark abyss. The trip's over. Guess what? You came to the end of your life. You didn't accept Christ as your Savior, and you drove your car right over the cliff. And it was pretty banged up, too. There was branches stuck in the windshield wipers. The paint's all scratched off. The tires are flat. The brakes don't work. Some people punch holes in their oil pan. That's at the bottom of the motor. That's where all the oil is stored to keep the motor lubricated. Well, all the oil leaked out. And then if you have a, say, an automatic transmission, you busted a hole in that pan. There's no automatic transmission fluid in there. That ain't working right. They come to the end of their lives, and it's a complete mess. Complete mess. And over the cliff they went. All the while, Jesus is saying, get back on the road. Come to the road. I will give you rest. Come to the road. We're on the road. What are the directions, the signposts, and the traffic lights for us? We're on that road. Our next scripture is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in the 13th verse. So if you would turn with me to 1 Peter. So after Hebrews, after James, we get the 1 Peter. Ooh, I'm in James yet. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in the 13th verse, we read, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to the governors as sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. The will of God is that we do right. In every situation. What is doing right? Who decides what is right? Let's contrast right and wrong. Got to be a difference between right and wrong. Right now, our culture is just mixing words up all over the place because they're trying to confuse us. But they can't confuse us because we know right and wrong. For we have God's word. Right and wrong. Let's look at the wrong. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, God gives us right and wrong. Second Timothy chapter 3. There we go. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in the 1st through 5th verse, we read, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, unreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Extraordinary. Right there, God is painting a picture of parts of our culture. Do you see it? We see it every day. If God wants us to do the good, we need to stay away from that. We need to abstain from those things I just read. Arrogant, treacherous, unbelieving, without self-control, brutal, harsh words, disobedient to parents. Now, as I said earlier, I'm 66. When I was disobedient to my parents, the cuff leffel, it hurt. The cuff leffel, anybody know what a cuff leffel is? A cuff leffel? It's a large wooden spoon. And my grandmother could weld that thing like the sword. Did you ever do that dance? Oh, I love my grandmother. She was a big woman. She was tough. She'd grab a hold of that arm. She'd get that cuff leffel, and we did the dance. I knew that dance very well. And now when my grandmother couldn't run fast, she said, "Don't run away from me, or you'll get it twice as hard." So you stood and you took your punishment when you were disobedient. Right? If you're disobedient, there's a punishment. Not anymore today. You can be as disobedient as you want, and there's no punishment. In fact, there's people out there who will praise you for it. What kind of a weird world are we living in? And it seems like it occurred in the last 10 years. It really got worse. And if you say something to someone, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that. How dare you judge me? Well, I'm not judging you, but your fruit stinks. Okay? By your fruit, we'll know who you are. By your actions, what you do. I'm not judging you, but man, you got some rotten fruit going on there. Disobedient. Arrogant. No, no. We're to stay away from that. Well, how do we know what is good? Well, in 2 Timothy, right here in chapter 3, in the 16th verse, we read, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." The Word of God gives us what we need. It gives us those directions that we need, the lines on our road, the signs that say what's up ahead, the hazards that could be there. This was just a hazard. Stay away from that sort of stuff. Arrogance, conceitedness, the love of money. Now, I don't love money, but I like money because I want to be able to pay my bills. But the root of all evil is the love of money. How do we use our funds? To bring glory to God? Or just to waste on ourselves, on our appetites? Think about it. It is very warm up here. It's pretty good. Okay, let's find out what's the good. Because God's will is that you do the good. We want to do the good. So what is good? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in the 4th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in the 4th verse. And I need to read this often. I got to keep reminding myself of this. Because in the heat of an argument, in the heat of what's going on in our lives, right? Everybody's living and they have all this stuff, things coming at you all the time. What is the good that we need to bring out? And God's Word tells us in chapter 13, starting in the 4th through 7th verse, we read, "Love is patient. Love is kind. is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. As I mentioned earlier, we all have fruit. When you come upon a person, or if you're looking at somebody, say, on a YouTube post or whatever, whatever's going on in our culture, even amongst ourselves, what are people saying? What are their fruits? What are their actions? What are they doing? You try and talk to some of the people out there, some of these activists that are pushing an agenda that you know is wrong, you know is completely confused. And you try and talk to them. What do? They start yelling at you. The arguments don't make sense, so maybe if I yell it louder, it'll make sense. Right? What do we do in such a situation? Don't react. Don't get involved in the argument per se. But quietly, with self-control, with the biblical truth on your side, try to instruct them. And if they don't want to hear it, okay. Because you can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. I don't have that power. Only God has that power. And all we can do is give them the truth. All we can do is give each other the truth. Iron sharpens iron. I'm going to use Whitey. Me and Whitey have discussions a lot. More so in the past, but we're going to have more of those. His iron sharpens my iron. I'm just a man. I'm not perfect. I could be wrong. We need to take each other back to the Scriptures, to God's Word, what's right and wrong. Our culture has rejected that. Well, some of the culture. Not all of it. Not all of it. There's still like-minded people out there in our culture that want to know the truth, that are striving to know the truth just as we are, and we can come together just as our forefathers did and rebuild this nation. One nation under God. There is a reason for that. That's the good. Can we do it all the time? Nope. We fall down. We miss the point. We get caught up in the argument, and we say things that we shouldn't say. We get angry. We're human beings. We're fallen. But God is on the road to perfect us. The further we get down that road, the closer we're getting to perfection. And we won't get there until we leave these bodies. Then we'll be totally perfected. But what is our job now? To stay on that road. To keep striving. To be a better person. Not that works mean anything for salvation. But if we're better people to ourselves and our families and our loved ones, that helps them be better people. It cuts down on the strife, the arguments, the hurt, the pain. Let's embrace the love and the joy. The love and the joy of being together. I love coming to church. I do. I love seeing your faces, the smiles, the greetings, hearing your stories, okay? People like to talk. Most people do, right? I had a really good testimony this morning from one of our dear brothers about someone who got saved. What a wonderful story. It helps me in my walk. Someone accepted Christ. Their life has been changed. What a wonderful thing to occur. Our next signpost, the next will of God, is to abstain from sexual sin. Talk about a hot topic button there. I mean, this one is like everywhere, right? If you're sitting down for Thanksgiving meal and you bring this up, I don't know what's going to happen, right? Depending where you are out in public, I don't know what's going to happen. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, we get another will from God. This is His will for us. And really, it's for the whole world, but they're not listening. Too far. First Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 3, we read, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality." Another guidepost for the road. What is going on in our culture? Talk about taking the car off the road and into the underbrush. What a mess. What a terrible amount of suffering and pain is occurring. It's the will of God that we not do that. He gives that to us for a reason. You can avoid a tremendous amount of pain and suffering completely across the board. Sexual sin is any intimate act outside of biblical marriage that is between one man and one woman. What we see in society today is lust. They want to tout it as good and virtuous. Oh, this is wonderful. Everything's fine. But if you go to Romans chapter 1, we get an idea of what's going on. Romans chapter 1, starting in the 25th verse. And I won't stay on this too long because we have one more to hit. And I'm going to read this. Chapter 1, verses 25 through 32, we read, "For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged their natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all ungodliness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And of all they knew the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things were worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. There's not much to say about that. It's right there in black and white. This is what's going on in our culture. We need to fight it. Fight it. Every time we can. Our last one, the last guidepost, is the most difficult. Is the most difficult. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And this is the really hard one for me. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, we read, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I got to read that again. Did I get that right? Verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Wait a minute, isn't everything good? No, that's not in there. It says, "In everything give thanks." We give thanks for a good job. We give thanks for a bounteous Thanksgiving meal. We give thanks for when someone gets saved. But it doesn't say give thanks for everything good. It just says everything. What about the terrible things that happen in our lives? Do we give God thanks for that? Sounds off, doesn't it? Why would we give God thanks for losing a job? The wreck of a car. The loss of an income so you can't pay a bill. The loss of a loved one. How do you give thanks for something like that? For my fallen person that I am, I'm not sure. But I do know this, that for those of us that love Him, He works all this stuff out in our lives to the good. We may not see that good. We may not see that good. But do we trust God? We have to. Because it's so easy to give thanks when all the good stuff is happening. But how do you give thanks when the terrible things happen? When you get to that point that you don't know where to turn. Your heart is broken. You feel defeated. You feel so sick inside that you don't know if you can take another breath. How do you give thanks to God for that? The only answer I have is you got to cling to the Lord Jesus. You got to grab on to His ankle, not just His coattail. You got to grab that ankle and you got to hang on. And you got to cry and wash his feet with your tears. Because he's the only one that can take the terrible things in our lives and turn them around. He's the only one that can do it. There's one that is out there, Satan, who is driving all this hate and despair and death and murder and strife. I mean, it's all over our world right now. People are dying. Family members, they're losing children and parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts. How do we reconcile that? Only the Lord Jesus can reconcile that. Only God Himself can reconcile that. I mean, I can't give you a more definitive answer than that. And you need to go to the Lord yourself. You have to go to Him when you have that. And somehow, give Him thanks. Most likely, the thanks that you're giving for those terrible situations is when the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, God Himself, comes upon you and holds you close to His heart. That's the only way we survive things like that. It's really easy when things are going well and you have good. You give God thanks. Oh God, thank you for that wonderful turkey. And the giblet gravy. And the cranberry sauce. And I have to plug my wife. Her homemade filling, bread filling with the mashed potatoes and the onions and the celery and all of it's caught in. Oh, yeah. It's easy to thank God for those things. But what about the things that are hard? What about the things that break your heart? I want you to think about one broken heart in history. God the Father gave His Son. I couldn't do that. I couldn't give my Son to be offered up. But He gave His Son to die on a cross, to take every one of our sins, to take every one of our ugly, horrible, black, slimy sins upon Himself. He who knew no sin. And He bore that to hell. Because we couldn't. Without Christ, we're going over that cliff. And it don't matter what kind of car you have. It doesn't matter what kind of truck you have. It doesn't matter how souped up it is, how nice it looks. Once it goes over that cliff, it's done. Done. Can you imagine the heart of our Father in heaven? When He had to turn His back on His Son, because the sins of the world were placed upon Him. The eternal Father turned His back on His Son. And the broken heart of the Son, when His Father turned His back on Him, the total darkness that He experienced, that we should have experienced, I'm out of time. My clock is off. We're off the internet, right? Oh, no, we're still on. Oh, we're going to give you an extra one this week. Last Sunday of the year, we're going to give it long. I'm going to end up. All these wills of God are controls on the road of life for us Christians. They keep us in the right lane. They warn us of hazards ahead. They keep the vehicle on its wheels instead of wrecked and overturned on its roof. You know, when I was younger and we got carrying on, maybe racing our cars, I had a 66 Mustang with a 3-speed. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was cool. I mean, that was a cool car. I should have kept that. I didn't. But we'd say to each other, keep the wheels down. Not up. And that's what I leave you with today. God's four wills in the New Testament for us. Some of them are easy for us to take care of. Others might be a little harder. But I say to you to this day, keep your car on that road, or if it's a truck, or a Trans Am, or a Challenger, or shout out some cars you like. Camaro? I got a Camaro over here, a 68, right? Up, Corvette, there we go. Keep your car on the road. Enjoy the drive. There's going to be snowstorms. There's going to be, you know, thunderstorms and stuff on that road. But in Christ, we're in the car. The heater's on. The windshield wipers are working. Defrosters are going. And it is a great drive. Enjoy it. Because you only go around once. And when it's over, you got to get out of the car. Done.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.